Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lost a bet to the Astros or something because stinking dirtbag rats. I had to write it down this time. Dirtbag rats. That's pretty strong. I like it. Good job, Chris.
There's a certain way he said it, too.
Yeah, well, like it's not from the heart.
Came from the heart, but it was also, there was, I don't know, it had a little mafia to it as well.
Like he, well, that's Chris's
jam.
Yeah,
he kind of
right
changed
there.
His tune a little bit there.
Yeah, you went against the family. You don't get to survive that. There will be consequences if you go up against the family. Look, I was irrationally happy to watch that game go the way that it did last night. I thought that when the Astros came back after that 4-0 deficit, they found themselves in game five.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, it's meant
thought
to
be. Atlanta's going to choke this
I really
thing.
Did. Mm-hmm. I really did. And they went out there, and then Jorge Soler hit one to the moon. I mean, just destroyed that baseball.
What kind of a feeling does that have to be?
I can't even imagine.
What kind of a feeling does that have to be?
Well, here's the thing.
It's the equivalent of just somebody. You know, I remember Kobe used to have these game winners, right? And you know what he would do? Like, you know, some people react a certain way and they run to the bench. This, he would just kind of stand there with his hands up, like, what'd you expect?
Yeah, what'd you think wasn't going in?
And I always say that yesterday because that home run was hit so far. It's in the World Series. It's
yes.
Game six.
0-0 at the time.
0-0, 3-run homer, right?
Yep.
Hits it so far, and he just kind of stood there.
He never left the batter's box before
for 14 seconds.
He turned to his dugout and started thumping his chest.
Yeah, it said like, yeah, I'm right here,
it
whatever
was
he was
great.
Doing. I'm like, what the hell kind of a feeling is that?
So, look, you like to play hoop, right?
Yeah.
You go out there, and you take a three, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's just nothing but just thump.
Yep.
And it feels great. Like, yeah. It doesn't actually feel like anything, but mm-hmm. just the sound.
I walk out of the gym.
It feels amazing.
They're like, bro, it's 3-2. Where are you going? I'm like, that's it.
You've hit golf balls before, right? You've played mm-hmm. golf, and every once in a while you just make that perfect connection and it feels just yeah. beautiful, right? Maybe you play softball and you
sure.
connect and just sweet part of the bat.
You're on national television in the freaking World Series
and
with X amount of viewers watching in a tie game.
I don't know how
on the road.
I don't know how big Jorge Soler is, but he's pretty big. Mm-hmm. Okay. He looks like he's about 6'4" or so and he's jacked. And now imagine all the feelings we have, golf balls, softball, shooting a three. Now you're 6'4" and chiseled. You just swung as hard as humanly
you possibly
possible.
Could.
You hit the ball in the exact right spot. The ball's going nearly 100 miles an hour, whatever it was. And you see that thing disappear into the night. It left the stadium, Slee. That is just, it was extraordinary. And for at least 5 seconds, I was an Atlanta Braves fan. But I'm not going to lie. I love that
you should.
That weight.
Yeah, you should.
That Alex Bregman has to carry. That weight. That Jose Altuve mm-hmm. has to carry, that weight that Carlos Correa has to carry. And by the way, Carlos, I got bad news for you. No matter where you go, it's going with you.
It's not going anywhere.
It's going with you. It got heavier. Because the fact of the matter is, people that feel the way that I feel about the Astros, you can look at them and say, you guys won World Series championship, and there's definitive proof that you cheated. There is no, you have never won anything that matters except for that one time where we know you cheated, and it gets every year you don't win again. Heavier, 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 and I love it.
And you could be incredibly talented. Like we were talking about this, going into the playoffs, yeah, Astros can win the whole thing.
Sure they could.
Oh, they can, yeah, because they've got an unbelievable roster, unbelievable team. I think there's only four players left from that World Series, but mm-hmm. the main players, the guys that, you know, kind of the face of that franchise, all of them still there. So it wouldn't have been a shock if the Astros won the World Series, and you and I have touched on this. It would have also gave them a little bit of relief. They would have had a story of like, look, yes, 2017, we might have done some stuff, but hey, we just showed you in 2021 we can win the whole thing. By not winning it, you can't say, well, we got to the World Series.
Right.
That's not going to justify anything. You lost to the Braves, and do you feel any better that the Braves won it?
Well,
won it all?
Somebody sent a tweet in, and I think this goes back to 2016. You've either had to beat the Dodgers won it, or you had to cheat the Dodgers for the last 6 years.
As in some point you're...
Well, no, that whoever the Dodgers lost to ultimately went on to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. That whether it's the Nationals, or the Braves, or the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Astros, that some, it's not just that the Dodgers were in it. Like, the Brewers didn't take the Dodgers out, and the Braves won the World Series.
Sure.
The Braves took the Dodgers out, and the Braves... There's a little bit of something, which means it kind of...
Very little.
Very little, for sure. But I guess the little piece that does matter, Al, is... It kind of just brings home the idea of the randomness of the playoffs, that hot matters more than good, right? Atlanta was under 500 at the All-Star break. Under 500, and they won the World Series. And that almost never happens, but they got really hot at the right
Healthiest at the right time.
Yeah,
and that's the NFL in a nutshell. That's the NBA in a nutshell. That's obviously Major League Baseball as well. Atlanta's just another example of it.
Now, we may never get another baseball season ever again. That may be the last Major
What's going
League
on
baseball
here?
Game we ever
can,
get
can
to
Can you
see?
Do me a favor? Because yeah. when I hear people – so yesterday, right after we finished the post-game show, I'm still in the studio, so now the national radio is on, so they're talking about the World Series, right? And they're saying, hey, you know what? This might be the last game that we watch in a while. I think there are a lot of baseball fans. Can you give us a quick one-minute tutorial of what's in front of us with baseball?
There's not going to be a baseball season on time next year, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And here's why.
55 seconds left.
See, now you're the salesman. Now it's your presentation.
50
so
seconds left.
So baseball, basically, from about the 1970s until now, had gone about every 3 or 4 years, there's a labor stoppage, whether it's a strike, whether it's a lockout, whatever it is. They hated each other. They would fight over everything, every dollar and cent and free agency. They would fight and they'd fight and they'd fight and they'd fight. There'd be a work stoppage. Finally, they killed the World Series in 1994. And everybody realized, you know what, this is really bad. We've done a disservice to our game. And for 25 years, there was labor peace in baseball, which is unprecedented, really. Since free agency came into baseball, you have not had labor peace in for any extended period of time until 94, until now. Then the pandemic hits, and these two sides went at each other like never before.
Sure. I mean, everybody going back and forth. We're spending a lot of our radio time.
Yep.
What the hell is going on here? When are they going to figure this out? What do you mean only 60 games?
Do those count as my seconds?
No, you actually get seconds back.
So, yes, you're
8
right.
Seconds back.
they went at each other, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And now the collective bargaining agreement's over. They're going into this in an incredibly acrimonious position. It seems like they agree on virtually nothing. And here's the rub. This is why these things last longer in baseball than they do in other sports. The players never blink in these things. Since we've gotten into collective bargaining agreements, since Marvin Miller came in a million years ago, the players never blink. They've always gotten what they want. In basketball, they give up like that. In football, they give up like that. In baseball, they don't. We're going to cancel the World
Series. That's
how powerful
that players union
Fine.
Is.
Go ahead. We dare you. And the owners always blink. So now we're coming into it again where it's a bit of a staring contest. They want some rule changes. It's always about money. But that's why we are where we are. I think I went a little over.
No, you're good. I think that's – by the way, it's going to become more and more of a conversation. So this coming off the eve of the World Series, the season just ended, and this is initially the conversation everybody's starting to have. I think it's good to kind of give some background a little bit on this. But I guess, you know, the question I always have when they have these disputes, at the end of the day, everyone loses. So that's why I'm always kind of confused of. It's like, just kind of imagining. And
the
I know
players don't really lose.
The players don't really lose.
No, they don't. They don't. They leave with everything they wanted.
No, because if you play less games, you lose money.
They get it on the back end.
How are you going to get it on the back end?
They always
You only have so many games.
I understand, but they have the fund where they can survive these lockouts that other leagues are not able to survive. The owners are the ones. And again, it's a little different now because for a long time, the teams were owned by families. They were owned by individuals.
Sure.
And now they're owned by collectives a little
bit
more.
The Wrigleys.
They're able to withstand these things, but at some point, you can't have Dodger Stadium empty for half the year. You got to start putting people in it.
So I'm asking you this on November 3rd. Will pitchers and catchers report on time?
No.
Will spring training start on time?
I don't think so.
Will Major League Baseball start in that first week of April?
Maybe. It's one of those things. We'll see. I would not be surprised, though, if the whole thing gets pushed back a little bit, condensed, if we lose some games.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out. They always do, but it'll be lousy for a little while. I got one for you.
What do you got?
Carlos Correa is a free agent. They were talking about it in the World Series last night. And I know he's not coming to L.A. because the Dodgers have Corey Seager potentially.
49 shortstops.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Could you have that guy on your team? He's a fantastic player.
It's a great question.
And it's not just Al where, oh, he was on the team that beat us and he hit a couple of big home runs. Sure. And sunk. It's not that. They stole something from you. Could you have somebody move into your house mm-hmm. after they robbed you? They came in the middle of the night and they took your TV. They took yeah. the silver out of the drawer. Mm-hmm. They robbed you. And then a couple years later, they're like, you know, I'd like to come and live in your house. I don't think I could get over that ever.
So let's use a perfect team as an example. The Yankees. Yankees need a shortstop, right? And the reason why I mentioned the Yankees, too, is because if Corey Seager ends up leaving the Dodgers, Trav, where's the most likely? If he's going to go get paid and have a chance to compete for a World Series and it's not in L.A., you would think, okay, it's the Yankees. That's a great destination. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use them as an example because if the Dodgers decide, okay, Corey Seager's getting way too much money in the market, and you know what? We have Trey Turner as a backup, so let's put Trey Turner there. I'm not saying he's a backup to Corey Seager.
I understand.
But they'll obviously figure it out. If it comes down to, do you want Corey Seager or Carlos Correa? And you know the history. You're the New York Yankees. You're a team that, just as the Dodgers feel, got robbed by the Astros, the Yankees feel very similar. Wait, we should have been playing the Dodgers in the yep. World Series.
Yep.
And you have to choose between these two players. There have been a couple times, you know, throughout the playoffs, and there's something about baseball, MLB playoffs. MLB playoffs is just fantastic to watch. It really is. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Carlos Correa, and I'm like, did he really make that throw? How the hell did he? He's amazing at his position.
He's a fantastic player.
He's amazing at his position. I think if I'm the New York Yankees and I have the option of choosing 100% what Carlos Correa was a part of plays into that. I think it, you know, kind of shows the character of your team too. Is it just about winning, or there are kind of more pieces to it? I think that might hurt him in a situation like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but if I get the option of choosing between Corey Seager and Carlos Correa, I'm definitely weighing 2017 into that.
Yeah,
mix.
I think it's part of fans will get over it a lot easier than. What if you're Aaron Judge? What if you're Aaron Judge? You got to share a locker room with that guy. He took something off your plate.
So
I
think you're answering your question.
But he also gives me a better chance to go back and get another one. It's super, super complicated to bring these guys in because they are good.
If it's Correa or nothing, it's a no-brainer. If it's Correa or another really good player at that position, I think you go with the other player.
877-710-3776. Let's try Long Beach and Joe. Joe, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Joe?
Hi, on the pending MLB work stoppage, I just wanted to point out that you're leaving out of the history that several times ownership has been guilty of collusion.
Sure.
This is a management problem. You're painting it as the two sides both have issues. No, this is really a management issue. Secondly, a lot of times I hear, quote unquote, the two sides don't trust each other. I would argue that this is not a situation where trust really matters. The reason why they're in negotiation is to come up with an agreement. They don't have to like each other, let alone trust each other. But remember, ownership has several times been found guilty of collusion. The players have never done anything wrong. That's all.
Well, no, you're right about that, that there have been instances of collusion going all the way back to the 70s and 80s for sure. There seem to have been other times where all of a sudden players that you would have assumed would have gotten pretty nice deals, it's crickets. No, nobody's reaching out for him at all. But to say the players have done nothing wrong, maybe not in the spirit of a collectively bargained agreement, but in the spirit of, hey, let's put some products on the field. Let's, when we're trying to negotiate something, let's compromise on a couple of things that maybe aren't the end of the world. I think that the players share some responsibility in that.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, I want to get into the sandwich talk here in just 1 second, but I want to read a quick tweet because I knew this was going to come, and I think that there's a little bit of a difference here. This is from Baller P, and he writes to the two of us, "We already have a cheating Carlos Correa on our team, Mookie Betts. Lest we forget, the Bo Sox also cheated us." It's a fair point. It's a fair point, and I'm aware of it.
To an extent. Fair point to an
extent. I think there are a couple of major differences here. Number one, the Astros do not beat the Dodgers without their cheating. The trash can, the Clayton Kershaw game where he blew, was it a 5-run lead and a 4-run lead, two separate points? That was the difference in the Dodgers winning it or not, and the cheating was just so terribly obvious. From the reporting, the cheating of the Astros was far more sophisticated and rampant than it was with the Boston Red Sox. The Astros do not win with – the Red Sox just tattooed the Dodgers in that series. It was five games. The one game the Dodgers won was like a 38-inning game.
18-inning game.
Where
that's
Muncy
right.
Hits that home run. The Dodgers were outmatched in that series. They weren't going to win that series. The Dodgers were the better team than the Astros and played better. They just got rooked. They just got absolutely
the other team
jammed.
Just knew what pitches were coming.
Right. So I it's a good point from Baller P, but I think there are differences. Mm. And the other thing is, Mookie Betts was never just strutting around like, yeah, you got me, but so what? So what? And that's part of the reason with the Astros. And Bregman, Correa, and Altuve in particular are the most egregious offenders, and they're all still there.
Justice is always finds its way to be served. I thought yesterday that the Atlanta Braves end up winning that game. It's kind of funny, Atlanta. Remember after Bellinger hit that home run, and all of a sudden you thought, oh, you know what? Atlanta's in some trouble. They came back the next day and pounded the Dodgers.
They had an incredibly resilient season.
Just use that example of Game 5, Astros coming back and being the Atlanta Braves. They came back yesterday on the road, and it was on the road against the Dodgers. That's pretty damn impressive that, okay, whatever happened 24 hours ago literally means nothing.
They lost their best player. They lost one of the players in baseball in Ronald Acuna Jr. He tore up his knee, and they won the World Series. If the Dodgers had Mookie go down in the middle of the season, that's a pretty big blow.
Yeah.
And the Braves do not have the depth of a roster like the Dodgers did. They lost their best player, and they went out and they found Duvall. They went out and they found Rosario. They went out and they found Peterson. I mean, the rebuild on the fly was very, very impressive. All right, Emily. We were talking, it's National Sandwich Day, and you threw a theory out that I think is very, very solid. It's based in science, and I like it, and the floor is yours.
Yes, science!
Explain why you think this is how you find the right sandwich.
So it's taken a lot of practice, a lot of years.
Research.
Research.
She's a veteran.
But, being in the Northeast, we had some great delis in the Northeast, great delis here. But my idea about a great sandwich place, great deli, is that they have to make a really good Italian sandwich. That's the bar. If they can make a really good Italian sandwich, then that place is good. Then you can explore the rest of the menu. But if they don't make a good Italian sandwich, I'm not going back again.
That's a fantastic theory, because I have a very similar theory for Mexican restaurants. It's the control group, right? That if you're going to compare one place to another, you can't compare the tacos here to the enchiladas over there, right?
Okay.
It's an unfair comparison. So you need a control group. At a Mexican restaurant, it's the taco enchilada combo. Let's just try that at all the places, and then we can start going from there. National Sandwich Day, Slee. You walk into your favorite deli, and the order is?
So can I first set up? You guys said Italian deli?
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this one time. There's a place
in Italian
Pasadena.
Sandwich. But,
or Italian sandwich. There's a place in Pasadena, Roma Market. I mention that to you?
You did. Were they pre-made?
Pre-made. I know that you would say, oh, I don't want a pre-made sandwich.
No, I'm okay with that.
Trust me when I tell you this. This dude's like 80 years old. I don't know how many years they've been there. You just walk in, and there's just a line. Everybody's like, yep, I'll take that one that's pre-made.
That's next.
But he makes it, he makes I don't know how many a day or whatever
that's
case
it.
Is.
They're out.
Okay, so let me build the sandwich. Can I just build it?
Be my guest.
All right, so we were just talking about this. Bread, you were saying, is the key essential thing. I think that's a fantastic point, that the bread is kind of your foundation.
The bread is going to make or break your sandwich, because if you have the best ingredients, but your bread / roll choice is wrong or stale or just not very good, sandwich isn't very good. The opposite is true. If let's say you get the perfect French baguette, nice and crusty on the outside, nice
Why
and soft
French
in the middle.
Why are French baguettes so good?
They're fantastic. And it's perfect. And then you just go to the grocery store and get a bunch of stuff and stuff it in. That's pretty darn good. Because the bread is right. The bread is going to determine your success about 80% of the way there.
Okay, let me say meatball sandwich
great
is pretty
choice.
Damn amazing. Okay. A tuna sandwich is fantastic. You got to have the right
but good.
You got to have kind of the right
things.
You can't
bring that into the office.
You cannot do. You can't bring it into the office.
My wife asked me if I wanted to bring hard-boiled eggs in the office. I'm like, "Are you crazy? You want me to bring hard-boiled eggs to where I work? Are you out of your mind?
You do already bring Greek yogurt, which is also
not
a
even
smelly.
In the universe as tuna or hard-boiled eggs. Yeah,
eggs and fish are in their own. Yeah, it's one thing you bring hard-boiled eggs, but if you're sitting there putting it in the microwave, saying, "I'm just get a minute and a half in here," that's a completely different story of how you're consuming the hard-boiled eggs. This is all I want in my sandwich. This is all I need. Turkey.
Oh, Al.
Avocado. Goodness. Red onions.
I mean, that's a good
pepperoncinis,
sandwich. It's a good sandwich.
Mustard.
It's fine.
Sourdough probably is going to be my bread.
We're going to toast that a little bit.
Well, of course, we're going to toast okay. that. French baguette you could do all day long as well, yeah, so sure. We'll do that. And I'll probably – I'm a fan of all cheeses, but I'd probably go American or probably go
– Turn off his mic.
Probably go Swiss, one of the two, something like that.
You go to a deli and you're going to get American cheese?
On a turkey sandwich
I
on
could
sourdough bread.
Let me tell you something.
They sell those at the gas station.
Well, he also has unseasoned chicken, apparently.
Let me tell you something.
So.
I could literally do any type of cheese. Any type of cheese to me is, I could do
All
any
right.
type of cheese.
That's fine. I'm so disappointed
I could
in
do
you.
The same thing of the meatball sandwich, or I could go, yeah, I could do all that stuff, meatball but I'm, if I'm building good. My own sandwich, that's how I'm going
to
build
look at how many choices I have here. Emily, you got one sandwich to get. What are you getting?
Pastrami, go to Langer's.
Great choice.
I'm going to say it depends on my mood, but definitely I do love an Italian, so sure. I will get that anytime I go. Eagle Rock Deli was suggested to me when I first moved here. Love it.
Okay.
And then I do like a Philly cheesesteak.
That's
both
of those
iteration.
On the list. Taylor.
I guessed your favorite because it's my favorite, the Reuben.
Reuben's number two for me. Yeah. Reuben is a fancy.
It's moving up. I thought it was three before.
Did I? Was it three? Hold on. Let me look at my. You're right. It is three. I looked at my list wrong. I like a hot sandwich, right? A hot sandwich is kind of a good way to go, which is why the number one goat of sandwiches in the Travis Rogers world is a French dip sandwich. It's shaved roast beef.
He guessed that in the room.
Yeah. It's got a bowl of salty, hot meat drippings that you get to dip it into.
Yeah, overrated.
It's got melted cheese in it. It comes
Actually,
with horseradish.
It is pretty good.
It's unbelievably good.
I don't need all that stuff.
Clearly, you just ate a gas station sandwich. Is
How is that a gas
choice.
Station?
Because they sell what you just ordered
at the
gas station.
And also, you can easily make that at your own home. I think I like to go someplace
all,
where I can make
If you go get hot dogs at the gas station.
Yeah, because it's a hot dog.
That's disgusting.
Well, that's probably true also. You said tuna and turkey. They sell those at Chevron down the street. Okay.
That's a fantastic sandwich. What's a sandwich you like at Staples Center?
At Staples Center?
Yeah, you said the...
Oh, the Uncrustables.
The
yeah,
peanut
but
butter,
that's...
Peanut butter and jelly
yeah,
sandwich.
Those are good.
Yeah,
those are
they
good.
Sell those everywhere, but they're still amazing.
But you're right about that.
It's also free.
The number two sandwich, banh mi. Banh mi sandwich because it's coming on the baguette. We got a little cilantro in there. We got the pickled carrots. We've got the jalapenos, whatever kind of meat we want to put in there. That is a high-level sandwich. Also acceptable, a pulled pork sandwich, a Cuban sandwich. How about that? We got a little ham, a little pulled pork, a little pickle, a little cheese. Also in that press, there's a whole bunch. We got a cheesesteak, which she mentioned, which is really good. The Reuben that Taylor mentioned, not on the list, gas station turkey sandwich a la Sliwa.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
People have takes on sandwiches, Al. They've got it really coming in with some strong opinions here. This is John writes, Did Slee just give us that very sad sandwich order in an effort to try to have us forget his In-N-Out order? Was that your strategy?
That's a sandwich I like. I know.
Janice came in during the break and goes, yeah, that was pretty bad. Just she was more disappointed in you than I was.
It's the go-to sandwich. I have to tell you, you're not going to have a Philly cheesesteak once a week.
Well, of course not. I mean you could. It wouldn't end particularly well. But if it's kind of the
Do you like a turkey avocado sandwich or no?
I don't like avocados on my sandwich. I like avocados, but I don't like it on my sandwich. So I guess the answer is no. But the sandwich you described is perfectly fine. There's nothing inherently wrong with it.
But you're kind of thinking of like a go-to sandwich.
Go-to is different. Like if I'm going home, I got 5 minutes. I got to go pick something up. Maybe. But if you're saying, I want a sandwich today, what should I get? You go into a restaurant, they got 30 sandwiches on the board.
The best sandwich then for
turkey
me would be
with American cheese.
If you're saying you're just picking this one sandwich, probably go meatball sandwich.
That's a much better choice. That is a much better choice.
We're not really paying attention to anything else.
Joe writes, is the Italian sandwich in L.A. in Santa Monica, Bay City's Italian Deli. I've been there. It's great. You're right, Joe. That is a very, very good sandwich. So let's try Mo in Reseda. Mo, you are on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Mo.
Slee was, he named something that he seen like at a 7-Eleven shelf or something. That is definitely a gas station type.
Have you ever been to the gas station deli? It's a great one off.
No, I never.
Off the 405.
No, I've never been there.
It's a Valero.
I have a recommendation. Yeah, that's next to like the hard boiled eggs and stuff. That does not sound good at all.
What's your favorite sandwich?
An Italian sausage sandwich from this place called Busy Bee in San Pedro, California. It's honestly the best sandwich by it because of the bread, the meat ratio with the bread, and they put sauce on it if you want it. It's just a delicious sandwich. I think you're right about the Italian sandwich. If they could get that right, everything else should fall in line.
I think you're right, Mo.
I got to go to that Eagle Rock Deli.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. The Italian sausage sandwich is a lot like your meatball sandwich. We're going to put it in that roll. We're going to melt a little cheese on it, a little peppers and onions. It's not a bad way to do it at all.
Little messy, gets all over the place.
Absolutely. Can you believe it's been 25 years since Kobe made his debut in the NBA? 25 years. When we were talking about that this morning, I was just, I mean, where did the time go? And B,
so he made his NBA debut 25 years ago.
Yeah, just an extraordinary thing. I want to get into that coming up in a little bit, but first, a little Factor Cap.
All right. Up first, if someone invites you to their home for the first time, you investigate their house on Zillow. Alan, is this Factor Cap?
So that's an interesting question. I think if you're going to a place, I guess just use it as an example, the neighborhood you're going to or where, of course, you're going to put into ways. I think there's some curiosity. What kind of damage is this neighborhood?
Yeah, what am I in for?
What are we looking at?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a little bit of curiosity, and not like anywhere you go in L.A., it's going to be anything under X amount of dollars. I think there's a little bit of curiosity.
I'm not even kidding. I didn't even know that that was an option in the universe, like to, hey,
literally
over
Zillow
to my house,
and Redfin will give you every detail
I know
you
what
possibly
they are,
need.
But I never thought about, hey, somebody's inviting me over to have a backyard barbecue and play a little cornhole. Let me see what the house costs. I never really put two and two together. I'm going to start doing it.
You just walk in, you're like, so you close in August, huh?
Yeah, that's always a fun moment. So what'd you guys pay for this place? Yeah, good to see you. Can I get you a beer? Like, why are we doing that?
What was the down on this? Guys end up interest rate. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm okay talking interest rates because that's just you know, you can shop around for that. Oh, you got 2.5. Wow, that's really good. I'm at 2.75. I'm into that conversation. But if we're just, hey, how much you pay for that car? How much you pay for that house? Puts me in a weird spot.
Looks like you guys are down 60,000 in equity. How does that feel? Just saw the neighbor. They put up their house for sale. Not looking good
Most
here.
Most expensive house on the street. That's never good.
A viral video went around with a series of boyfriends and husbands and their cars parked outside of an Ulta, which is a makeup store, waiting for their significant other to come out. So, you always go into the store with your wife or your girlfriend. Travis, fact or cap?
Fact, but I almost never have to because she never asked me to go anywhere like that. Like, we're working on our 25th year of marriage together, and I honestly don't think my wife has ever asked me to go shopping with her, ever. It's probably why we've been married for almost 25 years. That if she said to me, hey, I'm heading over to Ulta, you want to make a run? Yeah, I'll go. Sure. I'm cool with that, but she's never asked. So I think I'm a fact in that. I'll go with you, but the issue's never come up in my relationship.
I'll go cap, and it just depends. It depends. Like, let's use as an example. Hey, I got to stop by to go to this store before we go home. If we're going to go grocery shopping or something like that, or if it's a quick trip, yeah, that's fine. Go in and go out. But I'm not. If she needs to go to a clothing store because she's got to get something specific, I have no need of going in there.
She's
going
to hit Judy's at the mall on the way home. Yeah, you're gonna
go
wait
to Joanne's fabric store. No, I'm not.
Oh, I've had to hit that. That's a tough one.
But that's the thing. It just kind of depends what it is.
What do you think of this pattern? I don't really care.
But here's the thing. she would never ask me because I would have no idea what I'm talking about. So she'd probably say, hey, why don't you stay in the car? I'll be back in a second.
It's important to spend time apart. That's all I'll say.
A football fan in England went viral for carrying 48 beers by himself at one time to his mates in the stand. So the
How's that possible?
He had like cartons that
like a
stacked
wagon?
Them.
Oh, he stacked them up.
Yes, he stacked them up. So the max that you can carry at one time is 3. Alan, is this Factor Cap?
You know what's funny? I'm not kidding when I say this. Yesterday, sitting in the 111 section is close to where the aisle is, so people are going to go down to their seats in the lower bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, just out of nowhere, I just kind of looked to my left, and there was a dude holding 3 tall cans, whatever they were, Bud Lights or something along those lines. And the way he was holding them, I'm like, yeah, those... one of those can go down easily. Like it was only 3 cans, but just the way, you know,
cans
two of them in one hand, he's got 2. I'm probably, yeah, we're doing 3. But really what I'm trying to do is be responsible and be like, all right, I'm going to take these 2 down real quick and I'll come and get one, or tell the other person, come up here and grab one. 3 is probably max for me.
Well, first of all, most places only let you get 2 around here. In England, right. you can go crazy along the way. That's an impressive deal. So if let's just assume that we're living in a place where you can buy as many as you want.
Beer's going to be warm.
I think I could get maybe 24, right? Because if we're doing in the little cardboard carton holds 4, I could go 6 tall. I think I could get 24 down the aisle. I'm going to be spilling them all over the place. But yeah, I didn't consider the stack
of
up
actually
game.
Do that?
No.
I was going to say, the last
thing... Do you have
thing,
48 friends that you're giving these to?
The last thing I'm going to do is walk down the lower bowl at Staples Center. Do you know how people would start, oh, don't drop those.
You're going to drop. Don't drop it. Don't drop
Watch
it.
Your step.
No, first of all, 48 beers at a sporting event, you'd have to take a mortgage out to pay for them. That's a whole other thing.
I did the math. $6,300.
Is it really? I was going to say, that sounds low. 48 beers at a sporting event, that sounds pretty low.
All right, last one. So speaking of grudges, I've been talking about it today with the Astros. Mm. Scottie Pippen is still really salty over The Last Dance, saying that Michael Jordan only did it because young fans were idolizing LeBron. Mm-hmm. So there is an expiration on how long that you can hold a grudge. Travis, is this Factor Cap?
Oh, that's Cap. You can hold a grudge for a very long time. It's bad for you. It ultimately ends up eating you up from the inside out. But no, look, first of all, I agree with the setup that you just had there. I think that in part, not exclusively, but in part, The Last Dance was a, hey, don't forget about me, right? It's been 20 years since I played. Let's start this up again. I kind of get where Scottie's coming from. I'm not a huge Scottie Pippen fan, but I kind of get why he's carrying this around. That he was always the guy that took all the you-know-what when stuff went bad. He had a couple of bad moments sitting out that where Tony Kukoc made that shot. That was a really bad look. But I get it that he's thought of as some sort of supporting player in this whole thing. And Scottie Pippen was unbelievably important to what they did, not just as, oh, he's the second best player on the team. They don't win all those championships without Scottie Pippen. They just don't. And that he gets treated as a throw-in, I can see where that bothers him.
So grudges are interesting because I think you got to kind of define a grudge. If I have not, I actually have, somebody specific in my life in the past, Trav, that I have not been in touch
with.
Was
it about the seltzer?
In about the what?
The can of soda.
I have not. It's been years, right? But I don't still today hold a grudge on that person. I just am not in touch with that person. Like, it's like, yeah, there's no effort to say I want to reach out to that person and vice versa. So I only say that because I think Scottie Pippen, you know, listen, if The Last Dance, which, by the way, was tremendously successful. And people want to say, oh, well, that was just Michael trying to do this with LeBron. I don't care. I watched it.
Yeah,
and so
great.
Did other people. So Jordan is still relevant today.
Sure.
And if you could still put out a documentary and all that can come out. Scottie Pippen was always the second guy. And there's just nothing he's going to be able to do to shake that off. You know, the difference with Kobe and Shaq when they were together, Kobe was on a mission to prove that it wasn't just Shaquille O'Neal. I could do this on my own. And he eventually did. So that's why that kind of went away and he had his success after. Scottie Pippen never won one again after, you know, Michael Jordan. Now, granted, they won 6 together. So it's not like there was that much of his career left that he can go do it or prove it or anything along those lines. I think the grudge he has probably won't go away, but I think it's unnecessary. People know Scotty was one of the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah, no, he certainly was, but I get where he's coming from. It'd be better for his own sake to kind of let it go and move on, but I get it. I get it. When you're talked of as, oh, yeah, he was a part of it too, it's like, nah, there was a little more to it than that. A little bit more to it than that. You just mentioned Kobe. 25 years ago today,
yeah,
Kobe Bryant made his debut in the NBA, and it was... wasn't much, quite honestly, which did not tell the story of what was coming next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. A lot of people are coming in saying you left off the torta. Great sandwich, right? You get all the good stuff. You get the little salsa. You get it's a great sandwich. Add it to the list. You don't seem impressed. You still want your turkey and American cheese.
Just saying, you know. Already hit on the essentials.
No,
Michael
told
us
decidedly not.
Michael told us Cuban sandwich, which by the way makes sense.
Sandwich.
You know, it's funny. Yesterday we're talking about, I'm talking about the Lakers' upcoming road trip, and he goes, "Well, you know what's happening, January 21st, right? It's the greatest day of the Lakers season." And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, "What the hell is he talking about? January 21st?" He said January 22nd. That's the greatest date of the Lakers season. I'm like, Michael. They don't even have a game on January 22nd. And he goes, look a little bit further. I'm like, I'm looking at the schedule. And it's when they fly into Miami. They play the Heat on the 23rd. That's actually one thing he's always talked about. Miami's his favorite road trip for all the reasons. But then
makes
also
sense.
Their food. So
oh,
when
great.
He says the Cuban sandwich, that's...
Well, you get all that Caribbean influence down there. You get a Latin influence. It's amazing. Well, and the Cuban sandwich is all about the pickles. That's what makes it. There's everything on it is good, but the pickles take it to a next level. A quarter century out, 25 years ago.
25 years ago.
Kobe Bryant made his debut. And we were talking about this morning. It was a fairly inauspicious one. He didn't score. He didn't play a ton of minutes.
Yeah.
And... it's
he only
really,
took one field goal attempt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to go back in time. I'll date myself here a little bit. I was working. I remember him making the announcement that he was going to come directly to the NBA. I remember the sunglasses on top of his head, the whole thing. I can vividly recall. And him coming into the league, it's hard to remember. There was a time when people were saying, hey, dude, will you please pass the ball? Will you stop doing that? Will you please be more of a team guy? He was so far ahead of the curve in understanding his own genius before anyone else really kind of understood what was happening. And that today was the day where it jumped off is just, it's pretty extraordinary.
Well, this is, you know, this is a thing that we were doing this. It was only maybe within the last 4 or 5 days ago, we were talking about LeBron making his NBA debut. And we talked about the press that came with LeBron James and the cover of Sports Illustrated and The Chosen One and all these other things that came
King
with LeBron James.
James,
King James, all that. How much different was, you know, nobody knew who Kobe Bryant was.
Not really.
When I say nobody knew, this is what I mean. When they initially drafted Kobe, remember what Jerry West was trying to do? Jerry West was trying to hide Kobe.
He knew.
He was trying to get him, hey, don't practice for these other
teams.
Don't
work out for me.
Don't do this. Don't do that, right? He was, as best as he can, trying to hide who he felt was going to be the best player coming out of the draft. And this was a loaded draft, too, if you remember that year. It was a loaded draft. But just kind of comparing the two, when LeBron came into the league and when Kobe came into the league, it's such different paths how they got to where they ended up being. And I say ended up being because LeBron is in his 19th year. If he doesn't accomplish anything more the rest of the way, you and I were doing these. Chris Paul just got to, what
he
did we
passed,
say, third?
Mark Jackson and Steve Nash.
So he's third time. Okay, third all time. Only Jason Kidd is in front of him John Stockton. And we were looking at it, and I'm telling Emily, I'm like, Emily, I know he's top 10. Where's LeBron? She goes, eighth. Okay, he's eighth. So if LeBron averages 6 assists a game over the course of the next 2 seasons, something along those lines, he'll get, let's say, to top 5. So he'll be top 5 there in assists, and then he'll be where he is with scoring when that's all said and
Number
done.
Number one.
The comparison and the path of where LeBron and kind of Kobe, how they came into the league, is so incredibly different.
Totally different. That with LeBron, like you said, you knew. His games are on ESPN. He's King James on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He is the guy that's going to come in and take over the world. and he kind of did, that we were talking about his debut, like you mentioned, and he goes into Sacramento, and it's like, oh, that dude was playing high school basketball a few months ago? Mm. Oh, okay, this is a little bit different. Kobe, we knew who he was because his dad was a former NBA player, but the story was totally different. It's a kid that grew up overseas. He's multilingual. He grew up in Philadelphia because they moved back, and he had this gift, but it wasn't, okay, just get him in the league so he can start doing it. It was, we'll see. Now, it turns out Jerry West was way ahead of everyone else, but
like always.
Yeah. But it just going back and seeing a really young, and you know, by the time that he was Kobe Bryant, a physically immature version of Kobe Bryant, but between his ears, he was still like, no. The reason I'm doing all these things is because I'm better at this than all of you guys. Mm. I am different. I am special. I am one of the greatest players of all time. You guys need to get on my – I'm not changing what I do. You need to change what you do. And at the time, it was like, dude, will you chill out? And he was 100% right.
By the way, there's a lot of that. There was – I remember, you know, early in his career. Remember, it took the Lakers, Del Harris, three seasons of getting eliminated. I want to say in the first round, getting eliminated till Phil Jackson comes in and then the Lakers start doing work.
Yep.
Oh, there's a lot of years. Even when it was the Kobe Shaq days. You know, I've said this a number of different times. When the Lakers, when it was Kobe and Shaq, it was like, Kobe, it's got to go through Shaq.
Yeah.
No. Shaq is the most dominating player in the NBA. And Kobe did everything he possibly could to kind of like put down as much as he can and still kind of play within the team. But there were plenty of times like Kobe got past the ball. And then eventually till he got to a point where it was, okay, now everything runs through me. It's like he kind of took his game to another level and proved a lot of people that weren't sure if he could win without Shaq obviously wrong.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Lakers win last night, Slee, but most Laker fans, I think, fall into one of two camps. The camp of, hey, we're just getting started. Or the camp of, hey, I know it's early and there's a long way to go, but there are some major problems here. We'll figure out which camps we're in coming up next.
We'll take some phone calls. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Your thoughts on how the Lakers have started the season. They're sitting at 5-3. They've won three games in a row, but they've had some difficulty winning against a lot of these teams so far in the league. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710-ESPN.